Welcome back to our special Memorial Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio on Twin Cities News Talk AM 1130. It's been a busy morning, and we've got one more hour to go, and we're joined in this hour by, from the Minnesota National Guard, Colonel John Jensen. Colonel, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. Great to be back here with you again, especially today on Memorial Day as we pause to remember the sacrifices of our service members.
A little different day. It's been a busy day, lots of guests, and one of the things we want to make sure that we're doing is we get our message from General Nash. Adam, are we ready with generally speaking? Adam's on the telephone.
It was a well-oiled machine till I arrived, wasn't it, Tom?
Oh, it's just fine. Generally speaking, Adam.
Minnesotans have served and died in conflicts ranging from the Battle of Gettysburg to our present-day conflicts. And though Memorial Day is set aside to remember those who have died, it is also a day for us to honor their lives and their service. I encourage you to go out into your community and attend an event sponsored by your local veterans organizations. Meet the veterans there and listen to their stories. Most importantly, on this Memorial Day, I want you to know that freedom is not free. Please take a moment from your picnics and barbecues this year to remember that many brave Americans died in order for us to live the lives we have in this great country.
Thank you, General Nash. Colonel Jensen, that's, as you know, every week on the Minnesota Military Radio. It's on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, from 7 to 8 a.m. on Sunday mornings, and 19 other stations around the state. And we get a weekly message from General Nash, and we get a weekly message from the commissioner, and we get the chance to tell all kinds of stories about what's happening in the military in Minnesota, veterans benefits, the Yellow Ribbon programs, and meet some of our heroes. And it's been an honor to have that on the air for 3.5 years now.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I tell you, I was listening to the morning show this morning. Congratulations, by the way. I mean, this is primetime radio right now, right? On Monday morning. I mean, this is primetime radio, so you've really moved up.
And they haven't pulled the plug on us yet, sir, so we're all right.
Absolutely. And there was just great information this morning. You know, as you were talking to the commissioner and then also the director of the VA, just a quick shout-out to all our veterans out there. If you haven't done so, make sure you get out, see your county veteran service officer, get enrolled, get your name on the list, take advantage of those projects and resources that we have out there for our veterans. So please get out there and see your county veteran service officer.
And Colonel, just to reinforce that, we had once a month, we have Todd Kubinski, the Scott County Veteran Service Officer, on. And every time he's on, he says, you know, remember, to our veterans in Minnesota, the commissioner says 365,000 right. of them, you might not need it today,
right?
But go get your discharge certificate, go visit with your local county veteran service officer. They're usually located somewhere around the courthouse. Get registered with them because you might need them later, or your family might need them later. You never know what's going to happen, so it's a good place to start.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. You know, Commissioner Shelto said 365,000. The director said 100,000 enrolled here in Minnesota. That means 265,000 veterans still need to enroll. So get out there and do the right thing for you and for your family.
Great message, sir. Colonel Jensen, this is Memorial Day, and I'm sure you're going to have a busy day. Are you going out to Fort Snelling?
I am. I'm going to be out there with Commissioner Shelato and the whole Fort Snelling crew. They're going to. It's a wonderful event today.
And Colonel, for those that don't know you, how long have you been in the military now?
November will be my 32nd anniversary of being in the National Guard, first in the Iowa National Guard, and the last 12 years here in Minnesota.
That's right. We forgave you for that Iowa stuff, didn't we? Sorry, Colonel. And your current position in the Minnesota National Guard?
Yes, sir. Currently, I am the director of the Joint Staff for Major General Nash at the Joint Force Headquarters.
And Colonel, I'm wondering, on Memorial Day, is there someone special or something special you think about?
Well, there is. You know, I remember my very first speaking engagement on a Memorial Day weekend, very small town, southwest corner of the state. You know, I wasn't really sure what I was going to talk about as I drove up there, but what I drove up to was this tiny little community. The cemetery was just draped in American flags, and there was just a tremendous attendance at this ceremony. And my message really became, you know, as veterans, all we ask is that you remember our sacrifice. But this town, this particular town, they already knew that. They already had the message, and I just thanked them. And it was a very moving day.
Colonel, I know you shared with me a piece that you said you wanted to read on the show today, and I think it's very appropriate. Would you like to share that with us now?
Yeah, thanks, Tom. You know, I'm going to read a quick poem, which is most of people who know me would say that's completely out of character. But one of the things that I think that I'm privileged to be as a veteran is, as veterans, we have this immediate connection with each other, regardless of service, regardless of where we served or what the circumstances of our service was. And this particular poem, it's very short. That's why I picked it. Came from a gentleman, Michael Norman. Michael Norman's a combat Marine from Vietnam. In 1991, he wrote a book, These Good Men, Friendships Forged from War, and it was really his story about reconnecting with his Marine Corps squad. It's called A Sacred Calling, and I think it kind of describes a little bit why we veterans care for each other. Again, A Sacred Calling from Mike Norman. Now I know why men who have been to war yearn to reunite, not to tell stories or look at old pictures, not to laugh and to weep. Comrades gather because they have been with men who once acted at their best, men who suffered and sacrificed together, who were stripped of their humanity. I did not pick these men. They were delivered by the military and by fate. But I know them in a way I know no other men. I have never given anyone such trust. They were willing to guard something more precious than my life. They would have carried my reputation, the memory of me. It was part of the bargain we all made, the reason we were so willing to die for one another. As long as I have memory, I will think of them every day. I am sure when I leave this world, my last thoughts will be of my God, my family, and my comrades, such good men. And so today I thought that hit, for me personally anyway, a very specific point in terms of how I view our fellow veterans.
Colonel, that really sums it up for those who have served whichever war it might have been, Vietnam for me, and Gulf Wars for you, and all the wars that the Minnesota National Guard and the division have served in since the Civil War. I think that would resonate well with all the veterans.
Yeah, I think so. And I tell you, Tom, I say this every chance I get the opportunity, the Vietnam veterans have been such great supporters of our current veterans, of my generation. The Vietnam veterans, those men and women, they really knew and understood that service didn't end when their service ended.
We're speaking with Colonel John Jensen, my co-host from the Minnesota National Guard, on the special Memorial Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Colonel, you said you were listening to the show. We had Doug Becky on earlier, and we were talking about the legendary 34th Infantry Division Red Bull Soldiers.
Attack, attack, attack.
From the Civil War all the way up through, they really had a wonderful presence in World War II, which was 70 years ago, was when they liberated Rome the day before D-Day. And, of course, they fought all the way through Africa and Italy. The division has a great history, doesn't it?
It really does. And, 70 years ago from today, we were involved in what was the breakout of the Anzio beachhead, which was a significant accomplishment in the Italian campaign. We attacked the bridgehead, we being U.S., British, and other multinational forces, the Anzio beachhead, in January of 1944 in an attempt to get around the Gustav line, which was a heavily defended line by the Germans, and really to help march onto Rome. But from January through May, it was really a stalemate. The Germans were able to keep us at that bridgehead. And the 34th Infantry Division, they were moved from one part of Italy to Anzio in March of 44. And in May, the U.S. forces broke out at Anzio. And really, that set the stage for the capture of Rome, which unfortunately for everybody in Italy took place approximately at the same time as D-Day. So it's not remembered as well as it should be in our history.
And Colonel, a few members of the 34th Infantry Division, including the division commander, were able to visit Italy recently and commemorate some of these events.
Yes, Luke from TPT, who I know is going to be joining us here in a couple minutes, was on that trip. I haven't been able to get the back brief from General Loydold yet on everything that took place, but hopefully this week I'll get the real story.
Well, in just a few minutes, we're going to have Luke Heichel, as you said, on the show, and he's got a member of the Minnesota National Guard, 30-year-old, 11-year veteran Dylan Jennings on, who can trace his ancestry back to World War II and those events in Italy.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, I'm really looking forward to the story, to be able to walk the ground that that a relative of yours fought on for the freedom of our country and really for our world at that time. I just imagine that's got to be extremely emotional to go through that.
Colonel, we're going to get to that in a moment, and after that, we're going to talk to Bill Popp about the Military Family Tribute, and at the end of the show today, the Commander-in-Chief, Governor Mark Dayton, will be with us. This is a special edition of Minnesota Military Radio on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, and this broadcast is brought to you in part by Historic Fort Snelling. Please remember to come out and experience history this summer. Welcome back to our special Memorial Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. My co-host this hour is Colonel John Jensen from the Minnesota National Guard. And Colonel, we're coming up on halfway through your hour. What happened to it?
Boy, it's going by fast, isn't it, Tom? It really is.
It's a good thing you're a commanding officer. You can handle this, sir.
Well, now we're going to get to the interesting part of the morning, though, with Luke and his great story about Italy.
Joining us now is Luke Heikkilä from TPT. Luke, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you so much for having me back. I appreciate it.
Luke, there might be some people, this is drive time Monday morning, and some listeners that might not have heard you on our show before, but you've done some special Channel 2 projects on the Minnesota National Guard.
And you've done a nice job to let me speak to your audience about these projects. A few years ago, I was able to embed with the 34th Infantry in Iraq, in Basra, Iraq, and follow a group of soldiers for a year through their deployment there. I was also able to embed again with the Minnesota National Guard in Afghanistan, and you invited me on the show to talk about that project.
So you were cute in your helmet and your flak jacket.
Yeah, real cute. Yeah. TV guys don't rock the battle rattle all that well. So, and then I've done a number of projects with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. So I really feel honored to be able to tell these stories.
Now, recently you went on another trip because some members of the division were invited back to Italy because it was the 70th anniversary of some special battles. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, well, a few months ago, the discussion started, and I actually remember where I was. I was in a parking lot in St. Paul, and I got a phone call from Sergeant Ben on the other side of the glass there, and he said, "Have you ever been to Italy?" And I said, "Well, I have, but that's probably not why you're asking." And he said, "No, that's, so he invited me along to be a part of this fantastic tour that took place just a few weeks ago, where we were able to retrace the steps of Red Bull soldiers, the steps they took 70 years ago during the battles of World War II.
And of course, Colonel, we touched on that earlier. The 34th Infantry Division was involved in World War II and started in Africa and worked up the boot of Italy.
Yeah, absolutely. They invaded Northern Africa. Oh, let's see. According to my records, I think November of 1942. They'd been in Europe since January of 42. They were the first U.S. Forces to enter Europe. Went to Ireland first. Tough duty there, I imagine. Went to Ireland and trained for that invasion. And then really from about November of 42, they were engaged in combat for the rest of the war till May of 45.
And we've had Doug Becky on the show, and he indicated to us that one of the many, many, many reasons that D-Day was successful, even though it was very costly, was because the division and all of the troops we had fighting up through Italy occupied 18 German divisions that weren't otherwise available to back up over in D-Day.
Yeah, absolutely. They, it was kind of Churchill's strategy. He talked about the soft underbelly of Europe. And so that was really what Winston Churchill wanted to do. We weren't quite ready to invade France. The Russians and the Soviets were given the Allies a lot of pressure to enter a second front in the war. And so following Winston Churchill's strategy, we went to the soft underbelly of Europe.
So, Luke, you went to Italy along with Dylan Jennings, one of our Minnesota National Guard members, and some members of the 34th Infantry Division, and you're doing another production, Through a Soldier's Eyes?
Yeah, Through a Soldier's Eyes. And Dylan Jennings is a staff sergeant with the Minnesota National Guard, and he is the soldier that I'll be using to help me, tell the story of what the Red Bulls did 70 years ago. What's special about Dylan's, aside from the fact that he's a staff sergeant with the Minnesota National Guard, he's a family man, he's a businessman, what's extra special about him, I feel, is his great-grandfather, Bernard, was with the 34th Infantry 70 years ago. So we were able to bring Dylan to the Volturno River and see a Volturno River crossing. We don't know exactly where his great-grandfather crossed, but it's very likely we walked some of the same ground that Bernard walked 70 years ago. To see Dylan experience that as a filmmaker, for me, was very powerful, and I think it's going to translate well to viewers of Twin Cities Public Television.
His eyes must have been bugging out.
You know, I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about what Dylan experienced. The number one experience, you know, I interviewed Dylan a number of times while we're in Italy, and each time I would ask him, what's your greatest memory of this trip so far? And bar none, his greatest memory took place during a lunch we were having near Vernio, Italy, which is at the base of Hill 810. And an 84-year-old woman named Elena came up and, through the help of a translator, explained to Dylan that she just wanted to say thank you. She's been waiting 70 years to say thank you to an American soldier, because when she was a 14-year-old girl, she and her sister were escaping Vernio because the bombing was heavy at the time, and she escaped. She had no shoes. She was hungry. She barely had any shreds of clothing. And a Jeep passed, then the Jeep stopped, and the Jeep went reverse. And the two soldiers in the Jeep gave all of their rations to her, gave her a blanket, and, you know, wished her well. And she had lived with that for 70 years and was just waiting for the moment to say thank you.
Wow. This is a special Memorial Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. And my co-host for this hour is Colonel John Jensen from the Minnesota National Guard. And we're speaking to Luke Heikkila from Channel 2 about the documentary that he's preparing in Italy. Colonel, the Hill 810 was one of the biggest battles of Italy, as I understand.
It really was. But can I tell you a quick funny story, though, about the Volturno River that Luke just talked about? It's a very winding river. And the veterans of the division didn't cross that river once. Many of them had to cross that river three times during that battle because of the way that the river was so windy. And they used to, you know, talk about, they thought that every river in Italy was named the Volturno River because they crossed that darn thing so many times.
The maps weren't too good back then.
Probably not. But that's a very, I tell you, river crossings are one of the most complex military operations that you can do. The amount of planning that goes in part for that operation is just very intensive. And then they do a series of three of them over a very short period of time. It's just amazing for me to think back at that.
And a good thing you can practice that up at Camp Ripley.
Yes, we can. Absolutely.
Luke, what did you learn about that battle at Hill 810?
Well, you know, the terrain of Italy, if you close your eyes and think about Italy right now, you're thinking about the Tuscan hills, and you're thinking about these vistas where you can see forever and these sunsets. And, you know, we're fortunate now that 70 years later, we can go to visit Italy and we can see this beautiful terrain. However, 70 years ago, the terrain was there wasn't as beautiful. I mean, those views that we have as civilians going to Italy, where you can see for 15 miles across the valley, well, you know what? The Germans could see for 15 miles across that same valley, and they could see the Allied troops, you know, coming for a couple days probably.
And the Germans held the high ground.
They had a lot of high ground. We were able to see some entrenchments. We were able to see where they had built in their machine guns. You know, what the Allies and what the Red Bulls did in Italy, after seeing that terrain myself, all I can say is it's absolutely amazing.
Now, Luke, now as part of this ceremony that you went back to, it wasn't just U.S. forces or just British forces, right? There were other nations that fought in these campaigns, correct?
You know, and while we were there, we were able to attend a number of ceremonies at cemeteries, and that's the British Commonwealth Cemetery. New Zealand soldiers were there. It was a unified
coalition. Yeah, we forget about that. I mean, there was a corps from Poland, if you can believe, Polish soldiers that had escaped Eastern Europe, ended up in England, ultimately were organized and fought in the Italy campaign. South African soldiers, there was a Moroccan soldiers. It was quite a multinational effort in Italy.
And as you said, Colonel, this was a deliberate effort on part of the Allies to hit the soft underbody and take care of the Italians, which were aligned with Germany and Japan back then.
Yeah, but at this time of the war in 1944, though, there's actually Italian military units that are fighting with the Allies against the Germans at this point.
So by this time, Mussolini had fallen.
Yes, yeah.
Luke, we've just got about a minute and a half left. What are you going to do with all this material? As usual, it's going to look good. I know this.
Well, that's the hope. That's going to look really good. I've brought back probably about 20 hours of footage. We're going to work on it for the next few months. There will be a broadcast premiere that will be advertised. It'll be on TPT. We're going to hang it right around middle of November, right around Veterans Day of 2014. So viewers can look for Through a Soldier's Eyes on TPT around Veterans Day 2014.
Luke, when you get close to getting that done, why don't we see if we can get Dylan, and we'll get a hold of Sergeant Ben and see if we can get you scheduled on the program to come on before it airs. Sergeant Ben's waving at me, and he says, it's a done deal. Just call Sergeant Ben. We'll have you back on.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us today, and I'm envious. Great trip to Italy.
Thank you.
This is a special edition of Minnesota Military Radio on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. And today's special Memorial Day broadcast is brought to you in part by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to our special Memorial Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Jack and Ben up and at them in the morning. We'll be back tomorrow morning at their normal time. And the last half hour, I've been joined for this last hour by Colonel John Jensen from the Minnesota National Guard. And Colonel, we're going to get to the governor in the fourth segment, but in this segment, we've got a special guest. I think it's someone you know, a fellow named Bill Popp.
Absolutely, absolutely. A great friend of the Minnesota National Guard, our families, and the entire armed service community here in Minnesota.
Mr. Popp, are you with us?
Yes, I am, Sir Thomas.
The chairman of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation and the Minnesota Military Family Tribute. Bill,
Good morning,
sir.
Colonel Jensen.
Bill, good morning. It's great to hear from you. Thanks for calling in this morning.
Absolutely. It's a real honor and privilege to be able to. You know, today is a very special and solemn day for me and for millions of people as we remember those soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines and Coast Guard that sacrificed everything, and I mean everything, for their family's freedoms, for their neighbors' freedoms, and for all of us and our freedoms. And you know, a real purpose and passion in my life is helping others recognize and realize the value of our U.S. military and the sacrifices made by millions of family members and the sacrifices made by millions of veterans and their families. And I really appreciate this opportunity to say thank you, thank you, thank you to all of them.
Bill, I've been working with you for many years, and you've been supporting our military members and the Minnesota National Guard with the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. But this morning we want to talk about the Minnesota Military Family Tribute. Can you tell us what that is?
Yes, it's the Military and Veteran Family Tribute, and it's the first one in this country. And the groundbreaking is Wednesday, Wednesday, June 4th at 12 noon, and everybody's invited.
And Bill, I know you've been honoring the families for years. How did you get started on this?
Well, Tom, you know, my wife, Terry, her dad served in the military for 27 years in the Air Force. Colonel Jensen, you'll be happy to hear that. And I saw how my wife and her mom and sisters and everybody struggled with all the different moves. My wife went to 8 different high schools as she was growing up, and the sacrifices made by the family is just it's unbelievable by most of us, and it's an extraordinary sacrifice made by families. And I have always had a real passion for our military, because our military really is set up to defend our freedoms, and without our freedoms, we really don't have anything. I saw firsthand what happened to our Vietnam veterans as they came back and made a personal vow that I would never let something like that happen again, or I would do everything I can so something like that didn't happen again. And one of the biggest blessings in my life was making the decision to get involved with building the Vietnam Veterans Memorial back in 1992. I followed the lead of Teresa Vetter, who was the chairman of the board, and to raise the money to build the Vietnam Veterans Memorial at the state capitol. So, you know, over the years, as I've gotten to know more and more military members, as well as their families, It has just continued to strengthen my resolve to honor those people, to praise those people, to thank these people. I love the fact that they sacrifice selfishly for all of us and for our freedoms. And it's been a real part of purpose in my life. I just want to do everything I can to set up a good future for my children and grandchildren and generations that I'll never see. And the real basis for that future is freedom for all of us. And the military is the number one. They're the number one group that absolutely fights and protects our freedoms.
But, Tom, you can really just hear the passion that Bill has here just in what he said to us this morning. And I know his wife, Terry, feels the same way. And so, you know, Bill, on behalf of everyone here in Minnesota, thank you so much for your efforts. But most importantly, thank you for coming up with the idea and the support of this family tribute. You said first ever in the nation, and I tell you, that's really the Minnesota way. We're always leading the way, in part because of guys like Bill Popp and his wife, Terry. So as a veteran, as a service member, thanks for taking the time to honor my family and all of our families.
Oh, well, absolutely. You deserve it, and it's an honor for me to be able to do that. And I might say, you know, Sir Thomas there, he's one of our volunteer board members. So is General Shelato, and I don't know whether to call him General Shelato or Commissioner, and I'm wondering what his next title is going to be. But General Shelato also is on our all-volunteer board to raise money and build the military and veteran family tribute at the Minnesota State Capitol.
Bill, you're going to have groundbreaking on June 4th. Can you just describe the Minnesota Family Tribute? It's at the Capitol, between the Capitol building and the Veterans Service building. Can you tell us what it's going to look like?
Yeah, it's made up of a walkway that connects all of the existing memorials that are there, the World War II Memorial, the Vietnam Veterans Memorial, all the other memorials that are there. It's got a walkway. It'll be called the Military and Veteran Family Tribute Walkway. And then there will be a table there to honor our Gold Star families. And a table was chosen because of the fact that families gather around the table. And the table has stars in it and the galactic-type layouts, because the other thing that family members tell us is that when a soldier, sailor, airman, marine, or when they're deployed, that what connects them is all looking up at the moon or the stars, so we've got some connection points there. And then also there'll be rocks from the 87 communities or counties that we have. Each county is providing a rock from their county. And on the 87 rocks, there will be words that are shared between family members and deployed military members that will, it's little messages, whether that the message is taken from a letter or an email or a conversation, the little messages that will be imprinted in the rocks so that the people at the site can read those and get some idea of the topics, issues, the difficulties that soldiers and their family members, the things that they talk about, the things that they struggle with during times of deployment. So it's meant to be educational, as well as it's meant to be a tribute to military and veteran families.
And Bill, just as a reminder, that is June 4th at 12 o'clock. It's on a Wednesday right there at the Capitol grounds, which is just a beautiful setting, a hidden secret. If our listeners haven't been to the Capitol complex, just to walk around and look at those memorials, that would be a great time to come and enjoy that beautiful space.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And yeah, great time to come and get to know some of the memorials that have done by different groups over the years are spectacular. They are very meaningful. They're very historical and educational, and I would absolutely recommend and encourage people to come down to understand a part of our history and also the history of freedom that's been fought for around the world.
Bill, thanks for joining us today. I think we can find more information. Just look it up in MinnesotaMilitaryFamilyTribute.org. Thank you, Bill.
God bless you guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Pop. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Colonel, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk to the Commander-in-Chief, Governor Mark Dayton. This special Memorial Day broadcast is brought to you in part by historic Fort Snelling. Please remember to come out and experience history this summer. Welcome back to our special Memorial Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Not to worry, Jack and Ben with Up and Adam in the Morning, along with Andrew Lee, will be back tomorrow morning, back to your regular programming. But we hope you've enjoyed the show so far. My co-host for this last hour has been Colonel John Jensen from the Minnesota National Guard. And Colonel, the hour's gone kind of quick, hasn't it?
It has. It's gone by very quick. Hey, just real quick before I forget, Tom, I just want to mention this. Our 849th Mobility Augmentation Company, engineer company from Litchfield, just returned back from Afghanistan. They're down in Texas now. So to all the family members of the 849th, I know you guys are extremely excited about their return. So, you know, welcome home. Nice work, men and ladies.
So, Colonel, for a few days we get to welcome on some home, but next Sunday on the show we're going to have Colonel Thingvold on and talk about another deployment.
Yeah, we're getting ready to take the Aviation Brigade over to Kuwait. I know Greg served over there as a battalion commander, so now he gets to go back as a brigade commander. I told him, I said, I hope you don't become the division commander, because that'll mean that we're going back over again. But Greg and Sarah Thingvold, what a great Army team that is right there.
We'll have them on next Sunday on the show at Minnesota Military Radio on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 7 to 8 a.m., and on our network of 19 other stations around the state all next weekend. And Colonel, we had you over at the Minnesota Military Family Foundation kickoff breakfast for the fundraisers, and one of the things you were talking to about us was all the deployments going on, and I think a lot of times in the media, when we've got a big deployment, like 2,700 soldiers out, it's in the media and it's everywhere, but you've got people coming and going all the time, don't you?
We do, Tom, and thanks for bringing that up. We currently have 262 soldiers and airmen that are currently deployed. Number was a little bit larger earlier in the week, but as I mentioned, the 849th has returned. So 262 overseas, Afghanistan, Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, Oman, places like that, as well as we have 65 soldiers that are spread throughout the United States supporting those activities. So, you know, over 300 soldiers currently away from home doing our nation's work.
And we've got some great organizations out there supporting them, like Chuck Haas and the Hugo Yellow Ribbon community. Every time I turn around, they're sending out another load of boxes.
Absolutely. I can't keep track of our number of yellow ribbon networks and communities that we have. It's just amazing. I was on my motorcycle earlier this weekend driving down to Sioux City to visit an old Army friend that I hadn't seen in 14 years. And just small town after small town after small town, I was greeted with yellow ribbon signs. You know, this community is a proud yellow ribbon community. It was just amazing.
It's spread everywhere.
It has.
And it's so great for our deployed troops to know that there's someone back here that have their backs and watching out for their families while they're gone.
It's very powerful to know that somebody has the home front for you, so you can focus on what's in front of you.
Colonel, this is Memorial Day, and we've actually had a relatively good year since last Memorial Day. We've only lost one Minnesota serviceman, and that was a Marine Corps active duty Corporal Caleb Erickson.
Yeah, from Waseca, I believe.
And we always do a memorial when we lose one, and I'm happy every week that we don't have to have one of those. But last Sunday on the show, we had on a Gold Star mother, Jill Stevenson, and she shared some thoughts with us about how to deal with the Gold Star families, and I thought it was very enlightening. Adam, can we play that now?
It was uncomfortable for me when people are uncomfortable around me. And what I like is for people to not be uncomfortable and to not treat a Gold Star family member, whether it be a mother, a father, a spouse, or a sibling, or really anybody you know who's had a loved one die, like we're some sort of anomaly, because we're not. And I'm not concerned about people hurting my feelings by asking me a question or talking about my son, because I've already survived the worst thing that can happen to me. And so certainly you asking me about my son isn't going to hurt me any more than I've already been hurt. And speaking of him And anything that he did in his life, it keeps his spirit alive. When you ignore the fact that someone has died, it feels to the family member like you are ignoring the person and you're not acknowledging the fact that they even lived. So to continue speaking about them acknowledges the fact that they had a life and that their life was important and they are still living. So keep talking about it. Memorial Day is a very special holiday to me as it honors our men and women who sacrificed their lives for our freedoms and are laid to rest in our national cemeteries, not just in this country, but around the world. It honors my son. It honors his service. It honors the men and women that served with him. It also honors all the other veterans that have served in America, because these are your brothers and sisters in arms as well.
And Colonel Jill was on to talk to us about the loss of her son, U.S. United States Army Ranger Benjamin Kopp. And that podcast can be found at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. It was a half a show and very enlightening, and what a brave woman.
Yes, very brave. And I know that family, personally, I've had the opportunity to meet them a couple times. They are very active in keeping the memory of their son alive. And just what great advice. Continue to honor my son by continuing to talk about him. Just very powerful words there.
And Colonel, since it is Memorial Day and we haven't been able to connect with the governor's office, there's another member of the Gold Star families, Ken Drevnik, that has joined us a couple of times on the show, and he's got an event coming up to raise money and in his son Daniel's honor. They have raised funds and given out $1,000 scholarships for our returning military that want to go into law enforcement, and I think they've given out 26 of them. But Ken had a few things for us to say. Adam, can we play that?
We wanted to continue Dan's legacy, and we wanted to continue to be introducing him to new people all the time. We just didn't want that one fateful day just to end everything. People say they'll remember, but we wanted to make sure they can remember, and we wanted to help our veterans returning, our soldiers. That Dan wanted to be in law enforcement, so he decided, hey, let's do a scholarship program for people who are going to law enforcement school. And then we came up with the name, Hero at Home. These are our heroes, our soldiers returning, our current military people that volunteer like this are our heroes.
And Colonel, you can also go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and type in Ken Drevnik and hear a copy of his interview when he was on with the show. Ken was a state trooper for 30 years and retired, and his son Daniel and he were very close, and Daniel was going to go into law enforcement when he returned, and unfortunately a rocket came in and we lost him, and he came on and bravely told us about the officers coming to the door at his house to inform him of that his son had died. And I can't imagine how tough that is on your officer, sir.
No, absolutely. I know that, I've never had to have that duty, but our chaplain corps gets called on quite regularly to do that. But the Drevnik family, what a powerful story of turning a negative into something positive. I mean, here's a family that has served their community, law enforcement community, military community, and taking a horrible event and turning it into a legacy that's going to continue to honor their son, as well as military personnel that decide to go into the law enforcement community. That's just very, very powerful.
Some terrific folks, and of course, nobody wants to have that knock on the door, but he bravely told us that story, and as you say, they took a tragic incident and turned it into something just fantastic.
Yeah.
And they're continuing to raise money. They're out doing their fundraiser, I think, in June, and what wonderful people.
Yeah, what wonderful people, and I know a lot of our Gold Star families, as well as relatives and friends of them just across Minnesota. There's just so many events to honor our service members who have fallen during this conflict, motorcycle rides and rallies and things like that. And I just, for our listeners that are out there, I mean, obviously you're listening because you have an interest in the military and service members and our veterans and their families. And so when you get the opportunity to go out and support that, even if it's something as simple as just buying a raffle ticket to help fund a scholarship like the Drevniks have, I ask that you do that.
Colonel, one of the things I've learned in the last 3.5 years of doing these interviews for Minnesota Military Radio is the quality of our forces today. When I was in Vietnam, we had a draft, and there was a certain element that didn't want to be there, and it brought everybody down. But today, the people that are in the Minnesota National Guard Terrific people.
They're the best, Tom. You know, having served with them for soon to be 32 years, having deployed across the world with these soldiers, they are the best. They are the best that we have in Minnesota. They're the best we have in the United States. And, you know, the challenge to them is, you know, we went overseas, we did what we needed to do, but when you come back home, that can't be the highlight of your life. You have to move on, and you have to do something positive, and you have to continue to work, because our service doesn't end when you leave the military. Our obligation is to pay back like our Vietnam veterans have.
And the training, the reintegration training, and all the things that are going on today, and all the groups are out there to support our service members, our veterans, and their families. It's just fantastic.
Yes, I tell you, when you look at the experience that they've gained, you know, as an employer, you look at, you know, I want an employee who can overcome challenges, and these are people that have overcome challenges multiple times in theater, and so they are the best, the brightest, and the most experienced. And hey, Tom, just as a reminder to all of our listeners out there, today at 3 o'clock, the National Moment of Remembrance. It's to encourage Americans everywhere to pause for 1 minute at 3 p.m. today, Memorial Day, to remember and reflect on the sacrifices made by so many and to provide freedom for all. And so what I've done, Tom, I set my watch for 2:58, and at 2:58 it'll go off, and it'll be my reminder for this at 3 o'clock.
So wherever you are today at 3 o'clock local time, take a moment and think about all those who have given their lives so that we can be free here at home, and so that we can have family gatherings, and so that we can have a nice weekend. Just take a moment, stop, and think. Thanks for joining us on this special Memorial Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130.
We'll leave you today with a special Memorial Day message from Chaplain Buddy Wynn.
I'm Chaplain Buddy Wynn, full-time support chaplain for the Minnesota National Guard. The Minnesota National Guard is more than 13,000 citizen soldiers and airmen strong, ready and committed to defending our towns, our state, and our nation from threats at home and abroad. Members of the Minnesota National Guard have deployed more than 26,000 individual times since September 11, 2001, and 316 service members have fallen who have next of kin living in Minnesota. That equates to hundreds of families affected by spouses, sons and daughters, sisters and brothers who have volunteered for military service and died while serving their country. All families who have dealt with that knock on the door, it might have been the spouse, the parent, or child of the service member, opened the door to see the casualty notification officer in their dress uniform with their hat in their hand, accompanied by a chaplain. And with that knock on the door, a Gold Star family finds themselves a member of an organization that no family wishes to belong to. A Gold Star family is the family of a service member who paid the ultimate sacrifice. These families deserve our respect, gratitude, and the very best support we can provide. Many view Memorial Day as the first day of summer, but this day is much more. Memorial Day matters. It is a special day, and we must keep it that way. Regardless of how we plan to spend our Memorial Day, let us pause to reflect upon the sacrifices of our fellow citizen warriors who fell. Perhaps by flying the American flag, observing a national moment of remembrance at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and including in our festive plans a time to pause or to pray. The opportunities are boundless to show that the fallen live on in our hearts and that we cherish them. This Memorial Day, let us honor the memory of the men and women who gave their all.